Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8:11 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and I'm still alive. I say that because in the break, I tried to go to the bathroom, which is four ladders down and a couple of apartments back. And on ladder number three, I slipped. And this is why you hold on to the handrails, because even holding on to the handrails, it was kind of a thud, thud, thud. And just a little bit of a wounded pride and some, my fingers got a little bit, it was funky. So ships can be dangerous. You kick stuff, you trip on stuff, you knock your knees, and the ship doesn't move when you run into it. It's an important safety note. We are on board the USS Robert M. McCool, LPD 29, heading over to Pensacola. In fact, we are almost there. So if, you know, we can see you, that means you can probably see us. If you look out into the distance, out in the south in the Gulf, you can see us arriving. It's a pretty cool looking ship. On the line with us, we've got Julio Diaz. He is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, Saturdays at 4 o'clock, and also of the Pensacola Movie Club. Find them on Facebook and watch a movie along with them. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So I have a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I think, movies, or 9 movies that came out. Which ones are good? Let's just start with that. Pick me a good one.
Not very many of them. There's a couple that have some decent reviews, but, this is one of those weeks where, you know, we're kind of, even with all these new movies coming out, the number one movie this week at the box office is probably going to be week 6 of Deadpool and Wolverine, because...
Well, it is worth it. It is that good.
Yeah. And, we're kind of in that lull between that and Alien Romulus that came out a few weeks ago. And then next week we get Beetlejuice. And that'll kind of inject some more excitement into the box office. But this week it's a lot of small films and, a lot of, well, summer's over. So let's get this stuff out here.
It's time to get them out of the warehouse. They're just taking up space. Okay, so you tell me which one you – I've got the list here that you gave me. What's the best one on that list?
I think – well, not necessarily the best, but I think the one that the most people will probably see is Afraid. This is a horror movie from Blumhouse. So, you know, this do tend to have an audience. This is a PG-13 horror movie. And here's the gimmick in here. So the movie's called Afraid, right? The two next to last letters are capitalized. So Afraid, AI, and capitalized. This is an AI.
I see. So
this is the AI is coming to kill us. Yeah. Which, okay. Yeah. We kind of saw already in Megan, but this is at least, you know, this is not a, you know, a killer doll. This is a, you know, one of these like personal home assistants that is kind of taking over the house and killing, or threatening a family. John Cho is the patriarch of the family. And thus, yes, we're at the point where John Cho is a patriarch of a family now. I think I lost you there. Hello?
Hey, sorry about that. Yeah, we lost you for just a second. So I feel like the peak of innovation in that movie was maybe capitalizing the AI in the title. Am I reading this right?
Yeah, that's probably the most thought that went into the film, yes.
All right. Well, pick something else on this list that was either good or that most people will be interested in.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people would be interested in seeing a good biopic of President Ronald Reagan. You know, who it was. You know, some people consider to be a very great president, and you know, had an interesting life before that. Of course, was an actor and was the president of the Screen Actors Guild for a while, and governor of California. You know, interesting career. There is a biopic of Ronald Reagan coming out this week. Not necessarily a good one, but it's coming out.
So there's a lot of people who want to watch a good biopic of him, and they're going to have to keep looking.
Yeah, 28% on Rotten Tomatoes. Dennis Quaid playing the adult Reagan. Actually, an interesting actor, David Henry, who's going to be a Pentagon guest next year, is playing the younger version of Reagan in this movie. He was the son on How I Met Your Mother that Ted's telling the story to the whole time. He's also in Wizards of Waverly Place and is going to be in the revival series of that that's coming later this year. So a little bright spot in an otherwise, you know, maybe not so exciting movie.
Yeah, this movie I remember was like a special feature. You had to have privileged access to go watch it at the RNC, and I know a lot of people were kind of bummed we couldn't all watch it. Okay, so Afraid and Reagan, and you got 1992, Slingshot, You Gotta Believe, The Forge, City of Dreams, The Wasp, and Mountains. Pick one to tell us something about.
Well, I mean, the three that have decent reviews are going to be 1992 with Tyrese Gibson and one of Ray Liotta's last films. This involves some families coming against each other during the Rodney King riots in 1992.
Oh, okay.
You've also got pretty good reviews on City of Dreams, which has to do with people that have been kidnapped to work in a sweatshop in Los Angeles. So kind of weedy material there.
Yeah.
And then The Wasp actually is the one that's gotten the best reviews this week. That actually has in the 90% range and stars Naomi Harris and Natalie Dormer as two long estranged friends who come back together because one of them wants the other one to kill her boyfriend or husband or whatever he is. So been quite abusive. So
Natalie Dormer was great in Game of Thrones and other stuff. So you know, I like her quite a bit.
Yeah. Kind of
Julio Diaz
on that, but it might be worth it.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, it's just like I still can't believe 9 movies come out this week. Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola on Saturdays at 4 o'clock, and also the host of the Pensacola Movie Club. You can follow them on Facebook, see what they're watching, go join them for a movie and good conversation after. As always, Julio, thanks for the time on a Friday morning. Sorry, we had a little bit of technical stuff this morning because we're on the ship, but I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
You bet. 8:17 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay on board the USS Richard M. McCool in transit, just getting close to Pensacola now. And so if you live on the beach and you look south, you will see us on the horizon. I know because we can see you. We got John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives.
Brought to you by Parrish Tractor, formerly Coastal Machinery. Parrish is a family business with the Hartford community, located on Mobile Highway in Pensacola and Ferdon Boulevard in Crestview. No new accidents to let you know about right now. Seeing I-10 eastbound right around the Highway 29 through that construction zone. Just a light delay there. Other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Hey, if you need to have work done in your home, the air conditioner, electrical, plumbing, or heating, Peden, they will take care of you. They've been around for 55 years. Of course, started in Panama City, but they've been expanding ever since. They've been in Pensacola for a long time in Ellison Field. They've expanded all the way east to Tallahassee. And recently, last year, they expanded west into Alabama, actually, into Baldwin County, and this year to Mobile County. So anywhere along the Gulf Coast in the Central Time Zone, they'll take care of you. And a little bit of the Eastern Time Zone, too. Now, if you need the work done, they've got a couple of specials going on right now. $55 for an AC inspection. That's a pretty good deal. If you do get work done, there's no service fee at all right now. That's totally waived. And you get $55 off the repairs. Now, if you need to have something replaced, and, you know, sometimes that happens. You can't just repair the system. You got to replace it. $555 off of the system replacement. So, Peden will either make it cheaper for you to have the repairs done or cheaper to actually have the replacement done if that's what you need to do. Find out more, schedule an appointment, 100% satisfaction guaranteed, Peden, PEDEN.com.
Hurricane season is here, and making sure you're ready is key if you need to evacuate. Evacuations typically don't have to be hundreds of miles. Having at least half a tank of gas ensures you can evacuate the necessary tens of miles to a safe, sheltering location when a storm threatens your community. Check with nearby friends and family now and have a plan in place for what to do if you are ordered to evacuate. Visit halfwayfullhalfwaythere.com to learn about more ways to be prepared.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Let's go Florida State!
How you do it is equally as important.
Florida State football returns to the air Monday night for a Labor Day primetime special against ACC rival Boston College.
FSU takes on Boston College Monday at 6:30 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware, All Season Service Network, A1 Auto Diesel Repair, DeFranco Gas, and Calvert's in the Heights.
Let's go Florida State!
News Radio Pensacola is the best place to reach informative, local, and dependable listeners. But did you know you can reach sports fanatics on one of our family of radio stations, ESPN Pensacola? It's our area's top place to reach sports fans.
Hi, this is Jim Grimes with Southern Media. The team at ESPN Pensacola has been fantastic to work with, offering us effective advertising solutions that resonate with the local sports community. We highly recommend them.
To have your business reach sports fans today, call 850-262-6000.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays, The Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Good morning, 8:22 here. 8:22, I cannot believe we are almost done with the broadcast. So much work went into making this happen from the station owner, my boss Dave Hoxing, and his just unrelenting commitment to getting us online to make a broadcast from the USS Richard M. McCool, LPD 20, way to Pensacola, and the staff, the crew here that made it possible and, you know, solved problems. And it's all kinds of little things like, you know, every bit of electronics that you plug into the ship has to be approved to make sure that it's not going to mess up the electronics on the ship. So there was this big, long line of all of the Navy junior ROTC kids yesterday with their phone chargers getting them tested to make sure that they were okay. And, you know, we had to get all of our equipment approved as well and getting the satellite up so that we could do the broadcast. Anyway, got a text in here from a Navy friend who says, you know, very McCool broadcast this morning, Andrew. Thank you. Part of me will always miss the Navy ship life. Just don't tell my wife. I'm sure that's true. It is a wild experience. And, you know, for those of you who have been on cruises, I can just tell you it's not like that. It's, you know, it's ever so slightly a little bit like that, but really not really at all like that. So much to tell you. I'll tell you more in just a minute. Right now we got David Wayne in Pensacola on the land with our news headlines. David?
Well, millions of travelers will be hitting American airports over the Labor Day weekend. Domestic travel reportedly up 9% from last year. Over the weekend, TSA plans to check at least 17 million travelers. British bookmakers placing odds on the alleged reunion of legendary rock band Oasis. The band announced earlier this week that a reunion and concert tour were being planned for next year. Well, bookies apparently giving 4-1 odds that they'll call it quits again before that tour ends. And the
I have to ask you a question, because this is more your vintage. This is more like, you know, music you grew up on, not music I grew up on.
Sure.
This news seems to be a big deal to other people. And to me, it's like, yeah, I've heard of them. Can you clarify for me that this is actually something significant?
Well, you know, I remember them being pretty popular, but me, I'm
like
kind of in the same
boat. Songs.
I'm kind of in the same boat as you, where I really, I see all the headlines and wonder, what's the big deal?
Yeah, they're making it sound like, you know, the Van Halen's getting back together or something. Like, what? It's Oasis. Come on, you know.
Yeah,
how much should I care?
I'm kind of in the same boat.
Okay.
Same boat as you with that. And the National Hockey League mourning the death of Columbus Blue Jackets forward Johnny Gaudreau. Gaudreau and his brother Matthew were killed last night in some type of a bicycling accident in New Jersey. In a statement, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman praised Gaudreau for his infectious spirit for the game and show-stopping skills on the ice.
Very good. David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. If you've got questions about the McCool you want to ask me, I'll do my best to answer them. I certainly do not know everything, but I know more than I did when I took the tour, and I know more than after that than I did before. And there you go. I don't know. That's just logic. So one of the interesting things is the bunks. So I am in a bunking environment, and I will tell you about that in just a second as John Pickens sweetly whispers in my ear that I need to do traffic on the fives, and so he will.
Brought to you by ECUA Bulk Waste Service is now called for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. No new accidents to let you know about. Seeing minor slowdown on I-10 eastbound, not even a minute delay there. Other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So here we are on board the Richard McCool, which, by the way, the last time we had a ship commission in Pensacola, it was the Richard, the Bonhomme Richard, which did it back in 1998. And so it has been a minute since we've commissioned a ship in Pensacola. And the Bonhomme Richard is the one that caught on fire. And I don't remember if it was a COVID thing or something, but I seem to remember that the Tripoli was going to be replacing that ship. We were going to commission that a couple of years ago. That got pushed away, and it kind of did a non-standard commissioning where they didn't really have even a ceremony. I think it was in Mobile, if I remember correctly. So this is a big deal, being able to do this in Pensacola at the Naval Air Station next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, so 8 days hence. It's going to be a big deal. I was going to tell you about the berthing, bunking. It's kind of interesting because it's a three high, so you know the ceilings are like 8 feet, something like that, and there's three bunks. They're metal. And each bunk has a mattress in it, and then it has like plastic wrap around the mattress, and then you get sheets to put around that. But the bunk itself, it has a lock on it on the side, like there's metal in between the bottom and the middle, and the middle and the top. And if you lift up on the bunk, I couldn't figure this out at first, but when you lift up on the bunk, there's actually storage space in between the two chambers, and you can lock that so you can keep secure valuables in there. There's also a combination lock portion where your even more secure valuables can be kept. And then every bunk comes with a breathing unit. They call it a scuba device, and that's I think that's what they're called. It's the wall unit. So if there's a fire, everybody's got to have a breathing device because fire is a real big risk on a ship, and smoke is the big problem when you have a fire and the ability to just get out of the smoke-filled compartment. And so they're all over. There are these orange boxes that are all over the place, and each bunk actually has one right on the side of the bunk. Now, in addition to that, you've got these kind of lockers, set up, and then the bathroom, toilet / shower is adjoining. It's all very small and narrow, but adequate. And then, sink kind of that you share. Again, I'm in a dorm situation, so there's maybe 20 or so, I would think, berths or bunks that are all in the area that I am in. The women are in theirs, and there's several other, people are in some of the staterooms and all kinds of compartments spread across the ship. Of course, they have the ability here to carry, and their purpose as an amphibious landing dock, their purpose is to carry Marines. So the inside of the ship, it's like a giant container, and then there are several layers of that container. If I remember correctly, there are four storage layers, and each layer has a ramp system to go up. But it's kind of like a split-level home where you can move those ramps around and you can get from, layer 1 down to layer 3 or layer 1 to 2, depending on how you configure it. And each of those levels is storage space for Humvees and guns and supplies that the Marines would carry on station. And then the very back of the boat is this well dock, or the, fake beach, they call it, which can dip into the water, can submerge into the water 6 inches for the hovercraft that we do not currently have on board, but we'll get eventually. There's supposed to be two of them on the ship. And or they can go deeper, and they can pull regular-sized boats up inside in that submersible, semi-submersible well deck, it's called, or fake beach, if you want to call it that. And then they can lift that back up out of the water as need be. And that's they become basically a beach. They become a floating dock, and they kind of sit there in the water and drive at 4 or 5 knots just to make sure that they keep position, and they launch Marines out onto the beach. Walking around last night, it was kind of a ghost ship, and it was really eerie, but you had these green lights everywhere, and exterior was the landing area had some green lights, but also red lights are the primary thing because at night you don't want to obscure the night vision. But the ship is unbelievable and much larger than you expect at 680 feet.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. Vice President Kamala Harris says her values haven't changed, giving her first interview as the Democrats' presidential nominee to CNN, but didn't show the logic behind her changing positions on the border, fracking, and the EV mandate, and nothing specific when asked what she would do day one.
One of my highest priorities is to do what we can to support and strengthen the middle class.
Democrats pleased with the performance, not Florida Republican Byron Donalds.
It doesn't look like she has the confidence within herself or the ability to take charge and lead this campaign. If she can't do that, how's she going to lead the United States of America?
GOP nominee Donald Trump says if he's elected, IVF fertility treatments will be paid by insurance or the federal government. Labor Day getaway, avoid the rush. Peak travel forecast today on the roads. From 2 to 6 p.m., America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 80 degrees now, sunshine in Pensacola this morning. We do have an update on that shooting last night in Pensacola. Police do have a suspect in custody. Spokesman Mike Wood says the name and charges will be released later today. Officers were called to 11th and Bars Streets about 2:45 this morning, where they found two people with gunshot wounds. One man was taken to a hospital where he died. A female victim also taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries and is reportedly in stable condition. That investigation continues. Well, that looks like there could be double trouble brewing in the Atlantic right now. A wave coming off the coast of Africa has about a 20% chance of developing, possibly in the middle portion of next week. The other, a system currently headed towards the Lesser Antilles in the Central Atlantic with about a 50% chance of development in the Caribbean, perhaps as a tropical depression. Squally weather is anticipated across the area over Labor Day weekend there. The peak of the hurricane season is September 10th. Well, it is that time of year. We prepare for some of our favorite fall events, such as the Pensacola Interstate Fair. That'll be back for its 89th season this year. The fair running from October 17th through the 27th. The grandstand entertainment this year, including 90s country star Aaron Tippin and American Idol finalist and Alabama native Tristan Harper. Of course, it'll also include all the favorites, rides, games, animal exhibits, a whole lot more. They do have their discounted Super Save tickets available until October 16th. A Florida Department of Corrections inmate that was serving a 15-year sentence at the Century Prison will now be serving life. 27-year-old Alex Vago was found guilty yesterday of murdering another inmate at the prison back in 2021. A press release says Vega used a homemade knife to kill the inmate. He was found guilty of second-degree murder. Vega was previously convicted of attempted murder, along with other charges. Looks like the Escambia County Wedgewood Community Center will be reopening next week. That's been closed since that mass shooting outside of the center that killed two people, injured five others last month. The county took control of the center and closed it down at the time due to security concerns. That'll be reopening on Tuesday. And after-school programs there will start back up at the beginning of next year. Well, eight arrests made in Santa Rosa County during an undercover sting operation.
These eight individuals traveled to meet what they thought was going to be a 14-year-old girl, but turned out to be our deputies. So it was kind of a surprise for them.
Sheriff Bob Johnson yesterday holding a press conference. Among those eight suspects were 27-year-old Matthew Short, 20-year-old Devon Kishon Henry, those two both from Pensacola, 25-year-old Cameron Neely Dane of Pace, and 29-year-old Aiden Christopher Harris of Milton. And Johnson says two of the other suspects arrived with handguns, and one also had drugs. Johnson says it shows parents need to be vigilant in checking their kids' cell phones and apps. It is 8:35. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
No accidents right now to let you know about. I-10 and I-110 are actually flowing smoothly. But if you're headed in and out of Gulf Breeze, you're going to see just a few minute delay, mainly at those lights. But other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We do have a chance of rain as we go through the afternoon and morning hours. 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. High today near 91 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Saturday, another 40% chance of rain. High near 90. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Keeping our rain chances around through Sunday with a 50% chance of rain. High near 90 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we do have 80 degrees in Pensacola, 81 in Gulf Breeze, 81 in Milton with sunshine across the area right now. Your money now. Markets are up this morning. The Dow's up 137 points at 41,472. S&P up 29 points at 56,21. NASDAQ up 117 points at 17,633. 10-year bond rate up slightly at 3.87%. Our gold prices today are down $11 at $25.49. Silver prices down 29 cents, $29.69. And Bitcoin up 166 bucks at $59,557.28. Former President Trump says IVF costs would be covered by insurance if he's elected.
Under the Trump administration, your government will pay for, or your insurance company will be mandated to pay for, all costs associated with IVF treatment, fertilization for women.
And that from a rally in Michigan yesterday, Trump said his administration would push for allowing new parents to also deduct major newborn expenses from their taxes. A bill that would create restrictions on artificial intelligence headed to California Governor Gavin Newsom's desk. The state legislature there approving that measure this week. If it's signed, it could help set a national standard for regulating artificial intelligence. And a lot of people say the American dream just feels out of reach. That, according to the Wall Street Journal, a poll conducted over the summer, only 10% of Americans say it would be easy for them to buy a home. 89% still see home ownership as essential or an important part of the future. And only about 9% of poll respondents thought financial security and a comfortable retirement would be attainable for them. It's 8:37. Our next news at 9 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
I'm a pot of gold, but we'll try best that we can to carry on.
Welcome back. It's 8:38 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, underway. We are on board the USS Richard M. McCool LPD-29 amphibious landing dock, and man, I will tell you, it has been a tremendous honor to be able to be on the ship and get toured and talk to people and meet them and hear what they do. It's been absolutely fascinating to me as a civilian to get this experience and see what life is like, just a little slice of it, on board a naval vessel. Did a bunch of interviews yesterday. I want to share some of those with you now, including this is actually, it's interesting the people that you meet, okay? This is IC1 Rosario. He's an internal communications guy, and this is how, you know, you meet a range of characters. And I told him after, I said, man, you are fascinating. He's like, I might want to do some radio myself. I said, brother, you got the talent. Hold on just a second.
All right, we're here with, tell me your rank and your role.
So I'm IC1 Rosario, and I'm a first class IC interior communications specialist.
And what does that mean?
So we work on all the internal communications. So if it goes from one space to another and it's not pretty much computers,
okay,
it's ours. So alarm systems, phones, TVs, pretty much everything.
So you make sure the ship can talk to the ship.
Perfect example, yes. That's exactly what we do. Make sure everybody can talk on the ship.
Well, once that's all built and wired, what's left to do?
Fix, maintain, and then that's pretty much
things go wrong on a ship?
not that much.
Yeah.
So usually we do most of our work before getting underway.
Okay.
Once we get underway, it's pretty much kind of easy. You know, once we train the operators how to maintain our equipment and stuff like that, once they learn the systems, it's pretty much a...
So do you deal with, I mean, I'm just trying to think of things that might be relevant to you. Do you deal with, like, for example, if a couple of people want to set up a networking game, is that the kind of thing that you would help them with?
So we could, but the ITs would not probably let us do that. So yeah, there's limited on stuff that we were able to do, but are we capable of doing it? Yes. Have I done it before? Yes.
It may have happened.
it might have been some Halo 2 servers back in the day.
But more what you deal with would be like the internal phone system, alarm systems, just anything that deals with communication on board the ship, but inside the ship, not exterior to the ship.
Yes. So for this ship, we actually partner in within the same division with the ETs, the electronics technicians, which is actually this guy right here. And then they deal with the external communications of the ship. So anything that needs to go off ship through satellite or radar or anything like that, then they're going to be they are the operators for the external communications. So anything that needs to go somewhere else.
So I would have never thought about this except for the fact that we're trying to do a radio broadcast from a ship, which takes plugs and connections, sometimes across doors that are meant to be sealed. And, you know, it's a brand new ship, so not everything has been tested. We ran across a couple of dead outlets.
Yeah.
The electronics components, not the radar or the, you know, weapons guidance or anything, just the basic fact that this is a self-contained city with a lot of electronics, that's a pretty essential and complicated thing, right?
Yes. So we are trained in the basics of electronics, just because we deal with electronics all the time on our daily jobs. But the stuff that you're talking about is actually a whole nother job, which is the EM. So those are going to be the electrician mates, and they're the ones that's going to be dealing with more of the bulkier of the electricity or the electrical systems throughout the ship. So they're the ones that's going to take things from the big voltage like 440, 120 and stuff like that. We're kind of more on the smaller side of things.
And, you know, just last question for you. Well, last of this part is, again, just because I don't know a lot, but I'm guessing, I know fire on board a ship is a major risk all the time. It seems like electrical would be the greatest threat vector for fire because of, you know, something gets misconnected, something shorts, something's plugged in. You know, we were having to have everything tested to make sure it's compatible. Protecting the electrical system is a big task because when it goes bad, it goes really bad.
Yeah, absolutely. So everybody in the Navy is trained firefighters, pretty much, because that is the one thing that we cannot call on. So we can't wait to go find somebody that knows how to fire fires. Everybody on our ship has to fire fires. But with us being electricians, we technically train, or we more focus training on electrical fires, so slash Charlie fires, where we see like blue smoke and stuff like that. And we are trained on how to combat electronic fires.
And where are you from?
Originally Philadelphia, PA. Right.
How long you been in the Navy?
Too long, 19 years.
All right.
Yeah, we're actually maybe heading into retirement.
I was going to say, are you going to commission this ship and then retire?
Yeah, probably.
All right. Is this the first ship you've commissioned?
First ship commission, yes.
Okay. That's all right.
Yeah, so this is my first commissioning ship, yes.
On a level of 1 to 10 of fun things you've ever done in the Navy, where does that rank? 2? 3? 4.5. All right. What was a 9?
My first time being on a ship at night.
Oh.
So
okay.
That's the one thing that still gets me every time. It's just, you know, being from a big city, you're not used to seeing stars.
Oh.
So, you know, just coming out on a ship, not being able to see too much, but just that piece of the ocean, of the sea, and just seeing the stars is something that it never gets old for me. So probably the first time I witnessed that was probably my number 9.
Well, thank you for the time. Thanks for serving.
Yeah, no problem.
And I will tell you, I had not expected that answer, but just being out on Upper Deck this morning when it was, and last night when it was dark out, he's absolutely right. It's mesmerizing. Because like when you're on a cruise ship, there's all kinds of light pollution. When you're on a Navy ship, there's nothing, right? All they have is a few red lights and no white light. Same thing out on the flight deck last night, just looking up and enjoying it. It's pretty amazing. We'll come back. We've got a couple more interviews we want to make sure that we get to you as we're here on the USS Richard M. McCool. Just outside the Pensacola Pass, heading in. We're going to be porting here fairly soon and disembarking and
kind of sad. It's coming to an end. It was a pretty amazing day, frankly. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110, even through the construction zone, is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. And I mentioned a moment ago that you meet some really interesting people. And another very fun set of people is the MWR folks, who on the ship are responsible for morale, welfare, and recreation, making sure that everybody's happy, because happy crews are safe and effective crews.
So we're here with, tell me your name and your rank and what you do.
So I'm the MWR Vice President. I'm RS3 Cable.
Okay. And so MWR, for people who don't know, is morale, welfare, and
recreation,
which is having fun on board and keeping people happy, right?
Yes, it is.
And I saw earlier y'all were dancing, so you were keeping people happy, entertaining. But your job, why is your job important on the ship?
It's important because we build morale for everyone. Sometimes it gets hard being out here in the ocean, not having service, not being able to talk to loved ones, because our schedule can be packed. So we don't even get time to be on the email to email our families back. So this gives everyone a fun outlet to kind of let loose, relax, let their hair down, to say, and just be able to have fun and not think about work and not feel like they're at work.
So your job is to be like the cool older sister.
Yes, of course. Yes, we are definitely the cool older sister. To let everyone have fun. That's pretty much it. That's our main goal.
And, you know, I mean, the Navy in general, all the armed services are having some challenges recruiting in today's environment, but giving people a job that they enjoy, look forward to, and then tell their friends they're enjoying is, I mean, that's a big part of recruiting. So you guys are not just maintaining the ship and its functionality, but you're a recruiting tool, right?
Yes, we are. And we're very happy that we have the opportunity to do so. It's very fun, and it gives us a chance to connect with people on a different level. So I'm very thankful to be in this role.
Tell me some of the things that you guys do for fun when you're out on the ship.
Oh man, where do I start? For one, I'm very big on self-care. So I love to go get my nails done, get my hair done, do a beauty mask, just kind of...
Now, is that a service on the ship, or is that something you have to arrange on the side, so to speak?
Oh, yeah, definitely going to arrange one of those things coming here in the near future. Yeah. But outside the ship, we'll do community service. We'll have... Since like we'll still be picnic here, we'll do a command picnic, so we're going to help coordinate that as well.
I'm sorry, tell me your name and rank.
Oh, OS2 Johnson.
Okay.
Yes, yes. So, and I'm an MWRPL, so
okay.
I make sure everything gets out, flyer, email, make sure we're gathering everybody in the same area.
Okay.
Everybody knows what to do.
So she comes up with the activities, and you tell everybody what they are going to be?
Pretty much.
Okay,
pretty
all right.
Pretty much where to be, what time.
I feel like the two of you together are either the getting into trouble kids or the helping everybody to get into trouble in a way that have fun kids. Is that right? Like you're not allowed to sit together in class, right?
No.
I wouldn't say that. I feel like we work very hand in hand together because we just balance each other out.
Mm-hmm.
So when we know there's a game plan, sometimes I might have so much on my plate that my brain is overstimulated. And she'll jump in and can see that. And she's like, okay, hey, what do you need me to do? And vice versa. So we just help balance each other out and just get the job done at the end of the day. Got to complete the mission.
Yes.
How long have each of you been in the Navy?
I've been in about 2.5 years.
Okay.
And for me, October, it'll be 6 years.
Okay. So. And did you always want to be in the Navy, or did this come late in life?
Came late in life after college and after, you know, trials and tribulations, the Navy was calling me.
All right.
Kind of same with me. It was after college. My dad was prior enlisted,
okay.
And he was telling me my whole life, but I was always running from it.
Uh-huh.
And then with COVID hitting, I was like, you know what? Let me just go in and see what it's about. And now, you know, I'm grateful to be here.
And where are you from?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Woo-hoo, North Carolina.
All right. Well, ladies, the fun we had already today was great. Thank you for helping give us a little slice of the fun on ship. And thanks for doing what you do to make the ship run well and keep people happy and help with recruiting.
Of course. Thank you all for supporting.
Yes, thank you guys for supporting. And so glad to talk to you guys. Thank you.
So as you can hear, very enthusiastic, perfect people to be the MWR folks on board the ship. And part of the joy to me of being able to do this broadcast is obviously doing it live is just kind of wild. And I can poke my head out the door every once in a while and see what's going on outside. But more so is being able to share with you some of these people, some of these crew members who they're all so different. They do such various roles, but they're all, you know, so dedicated to the craft and making the culture of this shit be what it is. And I don't know. It's just it's really refreshing because sometimes I think you get a picture of, you know, kids these days. You know what I mean? Well, I've met these kids these days, and they're pretty amazing, frankly. 437-1620. If you've got some questions for me, I'll try my best to answer them. Andrew McKay reporting live from LPD 29, the USS Richard M. McCool, just outside the Pensacola Pass as we're getting ready to come in and dock at NES Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Oh, John whispers in my ear, no commercials. Perfect. That's because we're normally doing the wrap at this time, but obviously we couldn't make that happen. But it's perfect because I actually have another interview, the one that I really wanted to get you to play. This was one of the first interviews we did. It was on the bus from Pensacola to Panama City. But this is a guy, his job was to oversee the construction of the ship from the Navy's perspective. And this is actually going to give you a really good perspective on the ship construction and capabilities portion.
All right, so we're here on board the bus with, tell me your name again, Commander?
Commander Kip Wilkins.
And you work for the Navy, and tell us your role in all of this.
So my title is Program Manager's Representative, and I represent the person who brings the money to the acquisition program and buys the ship from the Navy. I also work for the Supervisor of Shipbuilding, overseeing quality, cost, and schedule as the shipbuilder brings the ship to life.
So you bought the ship?
On behalf of the CNO.
But you were the one who handed, what, the paperwork and the check and,
did,
you know.
I did sign the paperwork, officially known as the DD-250, to take the ship into the Navy.
But it's not really yours.
Not directly.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
I consider it mine.
So this is a long process. It's, what, 5 years from first steps to putting a boat out to deploy, right?
It's roughly 5 years from the flat plates of steel coming into the shipyard and being turned into an active warship.
And what so the McCool is almost ready, but there's still several steps that have to take place until it can actually be deployed. I mean, the captain had said, if they call us, we go. But, you know, there are still several steps after this that have to happen, right?
She does have another series of combat systems test and trials, known as C-Squat, and also a post-shakedown availability and a final contract trial. So along another long series of tests, live fire for the weapons and combat systems, another chance for the Navy's Board of Inspection and Survey to assess the ship and the quality with which she's being presented to the Navy, and then one more industrial period after that in order to correct any other issues they may find during those last trials.
And you've been, it's kind of been your job to shepherd this process through from beginning to where we are now, right?
I oversee execution of the contract locally at Ingalls Shipbuilding in Pascagoula.
And so tell us a little bit about how that process went. Like, how did we get from a boat that they were starting to put together in Pascagoula to over to Panama City, obviously, and now coming back to Pensacola? But what were some of the steps that took place, especially including the transfer of ownership to the Navy?
So, again, I think I've said this phrase a number of times, a long sequence and series of tests and trials, right? But part of that also involves bringing the crew in. So the crew, starting from the CO a year and a half ago, started arriving. Getting to know the ship and building up the crew and their qualifications. So for the past several months, after we took delivery of the ship in April, the crew moved aboard about a month after that, and they've been going through their own cycle of training and qualification to prove to their leadership that they understand how to operate the ship and can do so properly. And they passed with flying colors. This crew got the best marks during their light-off assessment of any crew in the past lots of years.
And it's something that people, I mean, even I might not think about it this way, but until the Navy owns it, you're not going to have sailors on board running through their paces. Before that, it belongs to Ingalls, right?
Correct. Until that DD-250 I talked about earlier is signed, it does belong to the shipbuilder.
And is this your first Tiger Cruise, or have you done more prior?
Well, I'm a prior surface warfare officer, so I've done a number of cruises as part of ship's force, and I've taken my brothers on various Tiger cruises in the past.
Are you eager to do this? Is this fun for you, or is this just kind of the job?
Oh, I really enjoy going to sea, especially on this ship, which I've put so much time and energy and effort into over the past couple of years. My previous times have been focused on getting the ship through a bunch of tests. This one is out to enjoy her, so I'll be along for the ride on this one.
How long have you been in the Navy?
I just passed 20 years.
Oh, great. So tell us a little bit about some of your past. What commands have you had, or what operations you've been involved in?
I'm in a niche corner of the Navy that's for acquisition and repair. So I'm no longer a SWO. I'm an engineering duty officer. So I've worked at, I've done submarine repair. I've done overseas surface ship repair out of Italy for a couple of years. And I've worked in D.C. and the acquisition office for littoral combat ships also.
Oh, okay. Which another Austal, well, I mean, this is not an Austal product, but another local product because it came out of, you know, Mobile, right?
Correct. It did. During that job, my responsibility was once they sailed away from Mobile and headed to their home port in San Diego, I managed that entire post-delivery process through combat systems trials, final contract trials, and post-shakedown availability.
So one question I've got that I didn't know the answer to is I knew what they were doing in Pascagoula. What's actually happening in Panama City? What is the ship undergoing when it's there?
Panama City is just a convenient place to pick up passengers. That's it.
So nothing at all other than receiving the people who are going to be on the Tiger Cruise.
Correct.
All right, yeah. Very good. Commander, thanks so much for the time, and you know, thanks for what you do for making it possible for our Navy to have, you know, functional ships that they can deploy sailors and Marines to.
My pleasure. It's an honor.
And one thing that was kind of cool about Commander Wilkins is he had three of his four kids with him, taking them on board and showing. And, you know, it was a really good example of opportunistic parenting, right? Because he's showing them what he does and telling them what's going on and taking them out on, you know, the transit boat, the 65-footer, out to the ship and then on the ship. And it's just, you know, it's a really neat reminder that, you know, sailors are families, right? 437-1620, I am on board the USS Richard M. McCool coming to the close of the broadcast today. We'll be back to regular programming on Monday. Man, this has been such an experience. John Pickens is back in Pensacola with our traffic on the fives and no envy whatsoever.
Yeah, I was about to say no fair, but we'll just move forward. How about that?
Better to say nothing than something you'll regret.
Exactly. I-10, I-110 looking good. I'm seeing no accidents on the board. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. I'm John Pickens.
All right, John, thanks so much. Hey, a couple of other notes on this. First of all, he said SWO. That's a surface warfare officer. So that's people who drive or operate the boats, or just, you know, sort of as opposed to aviation, for example, or as opposed to submariners. And then there's a couple of other, you know, niches, lots of other niches in the Navy. One of the things, just kind of a little tiny note, is one of the people that was accompanying us from Public Affairs was MC1, Mass Communication Specialist 1, Zach Melvin, and his wife operates the coffee shop at NAS Pensacola, a little coffee truck that's doing a really good business, and that's operated all by military wives, is my understanding. So it was a story in the PNJ about it. Brittany Masenchik, who is the journalist from the PNJ that's with us here on the ship, was telling me about that. Also, somebody texted in a note. This is why I love you guys. You're so knowledgeable. I had been saying that the previous commissioning we did was with the Bonhomme Richard back in 1998. We also did the Iwo Jima, a helicopter landing ship that was a WASP-class amphibious assault ship. That was in 2001, named, of course, for the Battle of Iwo Jima in World War II. So thank you for that note. I very much appreciate that. Other things worth mentioning, one is we talk sometimes about, I've talked a little bit with you and brought you some of the information about the shipboard defenses, you know, the 30-millimeter cannon, the missiles that are against inbound air threats. But also, they have other things. They have layered defense, right? I mean, one of, you know, the key part of their defense is just awareness, is, you know, knowing what's out there on the water. But also, they have, it's the most advanced radar that a ship is going to be deploying. It's the first one to deploy this, actually, in the U.S. Navy. It's, I don't know the details. I'm sure I wouldn't be allowed to know the details, but pretty amazing to be on this ship as its first operational element. Also, if you were to be some kind of a threat to the ship, you know, aside from 30-millimeter, aside from the missiles, aside from whatever assets they might have on the ship or nearby, and the Marines at their station on board, they have a thing called an LRAD, which is a long-range audio device that they can point at you. Like, think about an NFL sideline reporter trying to catch audio, a little satellite dish, they point at you, and it can make for some very unpleasantness, is my understanding. Non-lethal alternatives that are very effective. We are getting ready to pull into Pensacola. Thank you for listening. Look for the ship. It's enormous. You're-